Well, Happy New Year. It's perhaps not the way that we would have chosen to wish you a Happy New Year on behalf of the church. We'd much rather communicate to you in person, but it's my privilege to have the opportunity to bring you the first TBC talk of 2021. A year that, for us all, let's be honest, we are really looking to in hope for better things to come. For stability and a sense of normality to return, taking what we've learnt and in many cases gained from last year, but taking it forward into this year with high hopes and an even greater desire to lean into, cling on to, and depend further on our Heavenly Father in whom we trust. Whilst we have high hopes for 2021, we're clearly not that near to any kind of home straight just yet. And many still face frustrations, setbacks, and even more seriously, genuine worries, anxieties, and fears about the future. There'll be some who come to this today. Maybe you're familiar with this church, and maybe you're not, but we want to reach out in Jesus' name to everyone, whatever your circumstances, and offer help and share with you anything that's been of help to us and that just enables us to move forward with renewed hope and renewed resolve into this year ahead. And it's with that in mind that I feel that the Lord gave me this for today. It's about strength. Finding strength and having strength as we go on with Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word to us, the Bible. We thank you for the truth, the promise, the hope that we find in the scriptures. It's a gift to us. As we work our way through these verses and passages of your word today, may we gain strength from them. May we be open to you speaking to us afresh today by your Spirit into our lives. And you speak to us because you love us. Amen. Well, we're going to start today with a couple of passages. The first one is in the book of Joshua, the first chapter of Joshua. Joshua 1, first 9 verses. So Joshua 1, verse 1 through verse 9. This is what it says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There's 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 15 and 16. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in God. 1 Samuel chapter 30, 1 Samuel chapter 30, first 6 verses. David destroys the Amalekites. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. If we are going to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our life, we're going to need strength. Mental, physical, emotional, and above all, spiritual. So the question today is, from where are we going to receive this strength? And how are we going to draw it into our lives? I've got seven small scriptures. And the first one is this. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Paul's writing, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, his mighty strength. So it's not natural strength that is going to prevail, and it's not natural strength that God is looking for. A little while ago, I had to prepare a talk for the church about Samson. And since then, I've had to have a little rethink about that. Nothing too major, but I just don't believe that Samson pumped iron. I don't believe he was a member of the gym. And why is that? Well, whatever the illustrations in children's Bibles show, when Samson disobeyed God and disobeyed God and disobeyed God, eventually the anointing of God came off his life and he was just as weak as any of the other men. And people had no trouble at all overpowering him. Samson's strength came not from natural strength, but from the Spirit of God. So it's not natural strength that we're looking for or looking at here today. Because God chooses, this is his idea, it's his choice, our God chooses to work through human weakness. That's the way God likes it to be. For then everybody knows it's God. The principle is laid down when Jesus says, "My strength, my power is made perfect in your weakness." And Paul could say, "When I am weak, then I'm strong because I cling, I lean harder, I depend more upon God. I cry out to God. When I can't, you can," over and over again. Weakness. There would have been times when we would have all disqualified ourselves as not being fit for purpose. Because we were feeling so low and so grotty and sometimes so far from God. And those are the very days that God will delight to pick us up and use us. And four times over in that passage we read earlier, God said to Joshua, "You're to be strong, not strong in body, not strong in mind, not strong in personality, not strong in self-confidence." No. Look at what happened to Simon Peter. What did he say? Well, we read, he said, more or less, "I can't speak for this shower, but as for me, I will never deny you, Lord. I'll even die for you. Lord, you can count on me." Totally misplaced. And that self-confidence had to be shredded, and it was. Natural capability can often be a liability because we start to rely upon it. Just read the chilling story of King Uzziah. He was a good man. He was a godly king. His fame spread far and wide. God helped him in all that he did. God prospered the nation because it had a good and godly king. But just those few words. Then he became strong in his own thinking. Careless, presumptuous, arrogant, disobedient. And he spent the rest of his life, his long life, in the bitter loneliness and isolation of the leper, cut off from society, year after year, watching the flesh fall off his limbs. Why? Because he'd become strong in his own thinking. Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. So one out of seven is be strong in the Lord. It's God's strength harnessed to our weakness. Have we got that? Okay, the second verse. The second one is Deuteronomy 33 and the second bit of verse 25, 25b. It says, as your day is, so shall your strength be. As your day is, so shall your strength be. In the NIV, your strength will be equal to your days. NCV, you will be as strong as long as you live. The Message, your strength, like iron, as long as you live. As your days, so shall your strength be. Those that live in the truth of that verse every day happen to believe that according to the demands on that day, God will measure to them the strength that is needed. And he does. I remember somebody telling me that they wrote to Margaret Thatcher once. Somebody who respected her, he said he respected her, but he knew she'd made some mistakes. My observation is that people who don't ever make mistakes quite often don't make anything. And this friend of mine, he wrote to her when she was the Prime Minister. He wrote to her and he prayed for her, which he did. And he prayed according to this verse of scripture that we're talking about in Deuteronomy. That as her day is, she would receive from God strength of body, strength of mind, strength of leadership, because that's a promise of God. And you might say, I just don't know how I'm going to get through tomorrow because tomorrow I'm just going to fall. No, according to your demands, as your day is, so shall your strength be. Now, the other side of the coin is that we still need to remember to build into our lives rest days. Rest is the beginning of the word restoration, okay? And restore, rest and store up. Deuteronomy 33, 25, as your day is, so shall your strength be. That's the second one. Number three, Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the proviso is clear. We can do all things that God asks us to do through Christ who will give us strength. There is no equipping, no enabling from God to undertake self-appointed tasks. He doesn't promise that. So you and I, when we're invited to undertake something, ask God if he wants us to do it. And that means that sometimes we have to disappoint people. And sometimes we have to say no to people. Because the need is not necessarily the call. And the life of Jesus demonstrates that very, very clearly. But if God wants to pick something up and run with it, if he wants us to pick something up and run with it, if God wants us to accomplish a task, he will give us the strength and the stamina to bring it to completion. He promises that if it's of him, he will do that. One day at a time, he will provide the strength. That's his promise. We also, I think, when we're undertaking a task, we need to know when to put it down. We need guidance to know when to start and guidance to know when to stop. My own conviction is that there's a lot of things going on in individual Christian lives which are a perpetuation of something which has outlived its season. And then we wonder why it's so heavy and it feels so hard and we find no grace for it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's 3 out of 7. The fourth one is Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Paul, over and over again, says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll bet that half of those listening to this today could not rejoice for 1 second in the circumstances of their lives right now. After the year we've had and the year our loved ones have had, and we still endure it. But we're not asked to rejoice in the circumstances of our lives. Very often, the circumstances of our lives are naff. But I tell you this, your circumstances and mine, the tougher they are, the harder they are, the more difficult they are, the deeper the perplexity, the more intense the pain, the more precious Jesus will be. Anyone know that Jesus is our Christianity? Anyone know that Jesus is our joy? Anyone know that it's all about Jesus? Anyone know that the name of Jesus is music to our ears, honey to our mouth? Anyone know that he's our delight? Knowing him is our great delight. Anyone know that in his presence there is fullness of joy? Well, that joy will be your strength. Let's go very quickly to those two who made that journey on the road to Emmaus. They went out on a dusty, uneven road, or muddy if it was wet, and they had heavy hearts or leaden feet, and they trudged off. It was near the end of the day, and they were tired, and a stranger came along. And he preached to those two people the greatest sermon that's ever been preached in the history of the human race. And you say, how do you know that? Because he expounded through the scriptures of what we call the Old Testament and showed clearly how all the scriptures were foretelling the Messiah's coming and pointing to the Messiah. And he showed them how the Messiah had come and accomplished his mission. And when God speaks to us, our hearts burn inside us. And their hearts burnt. Because when God speaks, it reaches down inside us and it causes our hearts to burn. And the last part of the journey, for them, it was no effort. And they arrived at their destination, and this one, the stranger, seemed to be going on and leaving them. There's a question. Why did he do that? I think sometimes God questions our desire. Anyway, they persuade him to go with them. And when he took a meal of bread with them, their eyes were opened and they recognized that it was Jesus. Jesus will appear to us and reveal himself to us in the breaking of bread. But like those two, we have to give him 100% of our attention and our focus. Whether they watched his eyes, saw his face, heard his voice, saw the way he took the bread, maybe they saw the scars in his hands, I don't know. But they realized it was him, and he disappeared. And so they trudged wearily back another 7 miles to Jerusalem. True or false? False. They flew back, a buffer of air beneath their feet in the ground. They were buoyed up with the thrill and the delight and the excitement. They'd traveled 14 miles at the end of the day on a dusty, uneven road, but they weren't tired. Why? Because the joy gave them a buoyancy to rise above their tiredness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Just see two teams at the end of a match, okay? Let's say it's the cup final. Watch the two teams. Watch their body language. The losers can hardly find the strength to climb the stairs to receive their runners-up medal. But what about the winning team? They would run round the pitch all afternoon, holding the trophy, passing it from one to the other, applauding the supporters, milking the applause of their fans, running laps of honour. Why? Because their joy gives them energy, strength. Watch two crews at the end of the boat race. Again, look at the body language of the losing crew. Abject exhaustion. They can hardly get out the boat. They're absolutely done in. But the winning crew would row that 4 miles over again. Why? It's called joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you've heard me say this before. Joy is our strength against temptation. And why is that? Well, if we've got joy, we don't want to lose it. And we don't even want to risk losing it. So the joy of the Lord is our strength against the tempter. And if you and I are as miserable as sin, what might we do? Possibly go into more sin and probably make ourselves more miserable. So strength. Number one, it comes from God. Number two, as our day is, it will be measured out to us. Three, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Four, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need that joy. And five, the fifth one that I believe God wanted us to hear at the start of this new year. The fifth one about strength. Isaiah 30, verse 15. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. What does that mean? In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Well, not striving, not agitating, not manipulating, but resting quietly and trusting in and on God, that will be our strength. How many people know that sometimes the thing we need most strength for in all the world is to do nothing and to say nothing? Isaiah 37 verse 5, commit your way unto the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your vindication as the light and your right as clear as the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And you will find strength in the being still and in the waiting patiently. And it will give us strength, and we need strength to do it. I think that one of the most clear demonstrations of strength, which I read about in the whole of the Bible, is the strength I see in the Lord Jesus, the strength of his iron self-control when he's face to face with his accusers. There is strength displayed and demonstrated, libelous accusations, witnesses lying through their teeth. They blindfold him, they push him, they shove him, they manhandle him. One spits in his face. One slaps him. One punches him. People say to me, Pete, sometimes I just can't believe the Bible. I just don't believe it. And sure enough, you know, I find it almost impossible to believe some things that I read, such as somebody could punch God in the face and only end up with bruised knuckles as a result and live to tell the tale. Can you believe that a man could do that and live to tell the tale? It's in the Bible. Mind you, he had his moments a little while later when the pitch dark of night came down on Jerusalem for 3 hours in the middle of the day. It wasn't that the air was cold. They were chilled to the bone. And they didn't know that it was only going to last for 3 hours. How did Annas, how did Caiaphas, how did Pilate, how did Herod feel? How did the crowd feel that had bayed for his blood? What was it that gave the Lord Jesus the strength to walk the way of the Lamb and not open his mouth, and take all of that from the creatures that he had made. What gave him that strength? Trusted his Father. He knew his Father was in control. He had quiet trust and faith in his Father. That will give us strength. And at times like that, we will demonstrate that strength. Those who know their God and those who trust their God will be strong and do exploits. That's a Bible verse. Those who wait on their God, those who wait for their God, will soar with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and they will not faint. Why? Because they trust God. That's where our strength is coming from. And all around is chaos, and maybe there's accusation, and maybe there's criticism. We trust our Father, and we draw strength from that. So the last two to come. This is number 6. We read it earlier, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. David found strength in the Lord. David found strength in the Lord. Those verses that which we read told the story of David returning to his home city at Ziklag. He left his wives, his children, his possessions, and when he got back, he found just burning, smoldering embers. Everything was in ashes. All that he loved, all that he hoped for everything that he hoped for in the future seemed to have turned to ashes as well. What could be happening to his wives and his children right there and at that time in the hands of a merciless enemy? And he wept, and he wept till he had no more strength to weep. And the men who would have died for David 1 hour before were thinking about stoning him to death. And we read those few words. And folks, if you hear nothing else today, hear these words. David strengthened himself in the Lord. And you and I need to learn how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. How do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? Because the Bible is so practical. And we learn. We learn it. And if we learn it in the common everyday place, then we'll have it when we need it in the crisis. So how do I strengthen myself in God? Well, this is one way to look at it. First of all, hand. Hand. Put our hand into the hand of our Father. Like a child, you put your hand into the hand of your parent. You're so safe. He knows the way. He'll help you and he'll protect you. So do that. Put our hand into his. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I might tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness, put your hand into the hand of God, and that will be to you better than any light and safer than any known way." And who said that? Who quoted that? George VI. In the King's broadcast at the end of 1940, in arguably the worst year that the nation had ever experienced, he quoted the poem, Gate of the Year. If I'm panicking, if everything's falling in on me, Father, I just want to hold your hand. So hand, next, eyes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn our gaze upon God. We hear it over and over. Take our eyes off the Goliath. Okay, whatever the problem is, focus our eyes upon God. He's got a way of cutting Goliaths down to size. It's not good to focus constantly on our problem, talk about our problem, think about our problem, dream about our problem, because the problem then just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, like Goliath did every time they saw him. The battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. Focus on God, not on the problem, whatever the problem is. Hands, eyes, what else can strengthen us? Our memory. Memory. Use our memory. What for? Well, to remember how God's brought us through in the past. Remember his faithfulness. Remember the victories. God's victories in the past give me faith to believe, and God graduates his tests. So remember God's faithfulness and remember the victories God has given us in the past. Remember the promises. Remember the promises of God. Recall all the promises of God that we read about in Scripture and hang on to those promises like a rock climber hangs on to a finger hold or a foothold. Genesis 28:15, I will go with you. I will watch over you. Wherever you go, there's a promise. There's plenty more. Hands, eyes, memory, and tongue. Talk to God. Talk to God. When I talk to God, I'm in communion with God and I receive strength from him. God knew the problem before I had it. He knows the answer before I even know I've got the problem. And he will unfold the answer step by step. Read the word of God. Notice what God said to Joshua in that passage we read before. Do not let the book of the law depart from your eyes. No. Mind? No. Mouth? Yes. Read God's word and read it aloud. It's a weapon of praise. Just look at Paul and Silas in the prison, gagging with the stench, the freezing cold, dehydrated, backs bruised and lacerated, manacled like an animal to the wall. What do? Have a praise party. And they sang the praises of God. So the last one that I believe God wants us to hear as we begin this new year, as we look to him to supply us with the strength that we'll need. And the strength that he promises to give us. 1 Samuel 23:16. Jonathan goes to his friend David. What does he do? He strengthens his hand in God. Jonathan goes to his friend David. He strengthens his hand in God. And we need to learn to strengthen each other's hand in God. And David was down and out. David was sure he was going to perish at the hand of King Saul. He thought his number was up. Maybe he's thinking, Samuel got it wrong when he gave me the prophecy about being king. Maybe I've done something wrong and I forfeited it. He was losing his grip on the word of God. So Jonathan strengthened David's hand. And he said, now, hang on to those words that you have been given. And folks, we can do that for one another. We must do that for one another. Romans 15 verse 1, we who are strong, comparatively, ought to bear with the failings of the weak. We who are strong, comparatively, ought to strengthen the faith of those who are weak. So God gives us strength. We can impart it to others. And we do that with humility. Because we've been there ourselves, okay? There but for the grace of God, we'd be there now. And that is part of our commission, to strengthen the hands of the weak. We're able to make strong the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful, be strong. It's a ministry we all can have. We can go round, everyone you meet, you have the opportunity, Christian or unbeliever, to pass them a drink. When they drink it, it'll do them good. And it's not Red Bull or Lucozade we're passing to them. In that cup that we pass will be encouragement. It's a ministry open to every single person in this church to go round and do people good by encouraging them and strengthening their hand in God. Okay, so what are the seven? Our strength comes from God, that's why we need to stay obedient to him. Two, our strength is measured out according to the needs of our day. Three, we can do all we're asked to do in the strength that he promises us. Four, the joy of the Lord is the product, it's the outworking, and strength comes from that. Five, by trusting God, we'll be strong. Six, we've got to learn to strengthen ourselves in God. We've got to learn how to do that. And seven, lastly, we've got to learn to have a ministry of strengthening one another, a ministry that's available to us all. So back to where we began in Joshua. Four times over, Joshua was told, be strong. Go out and believe that the strength and the courage you need will be forthcoming. So I end with this. What is God asking us to do? What Jordan River is God asking us to step across? What step of obedience is God asking us to take? It's more likely that it will be something that for individuals you know about already. Something that's been in our minds for a while now. What is it that he's asking us to do? Is it a Jordan to cross, or is it more a Jericho to demolish? What stronghold is it that needs to break? In Joshua's life, this was a watershed moment. If he succeeded, then things would go one way. If he didn't, it would all fizzle into nothing. It was a pivotal moment. The previous generation hadn't seized it. They died in the wilderness. And there can be strongholds, fortresses, habits in our lives, and they need to come down. And the longer we leave them in place, the harder it will be. We need to see those fortresses of the enemy reduced to rubble, and our strength comes from God. For this and for our daily living, for the hurdles that we face each day, for the hurdles that in recent times are starting to look more and more like steeplechase fences to negotiate, draw strength from him. He wants us as individuals and as a church to live in the power of his provision, so that we can fulfill his plans and his purposes, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual strength each day, every day, when we're trying to cope, when we feel totally overwhelmed by what life has thrown at us. Draw from him and his love for you. Plugging into his power source, finding joy and delight in his company, and then go back and go out with renewed vigor and renewed ambition, because we do it in the strength of God. Amen.